This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to our 63rd lesson of Virtues of Islam with our Honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim al-Amri. We will now pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh insha'Allah, and the Sheikh can begin. Falyatafaddal mashkura. شيخنا شيخ سالم العمري
بارك الله فيك جزاك الله خير بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is our weekly class فضائل الإسلام, the virtues of Islam. In the last session we talked about what Islam provides for its followers, and Islam emphasizes upon the importance of building the faith, the iman. Because through the iman, by the grace of Allah and the will of Allah, a person will be able to combat his open enemy, Satan, and will be able to overcome his whims and desires. Because as you know, the weakness of every human being are two things. These are the two weak links a human being has, the desires, the shahawat, and the shubuhat, doubts. And the shaitan knows these two weak links. So he attacks us. So these two weak points, either by beautifying and make things attractive and alluring to us, so that we fall into his trap, we fall into the trap of sinfulness, and we commit major sins. So that is how he exploits our deficiency, which is the shahwa. He knows that we are very weak as human beings when it comes to the issue of whims and desires and lusts. So he exploits that weakness. How to save ourselves from falling into his hands? What's the cure for to overcome the the shahwa, lust and desire, is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, piety, righteousness. The more pious you are, the more you'll be able to overcome your desires, because you are cautious about your Lord, mindful. So you know that this momentary pleasures will be followed by permanent agony, pain, anguish, suffering, depression. That's what will happen. So you overcome that weak moment and you turn to Allah and you cry to Allah to save you, as Yusuf did when the wife of Al-Aziz tried to seduce him. He cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah saved him. Saved him from the seduction of the wife of Al-Aziz and then the other women. Because the other women, when they saw him now, there is a collective effort now. Everyone wants him after they cut their hands. So he cried to Allah, save me, O my Lord. Otherwise, I will incline towards them. And Allah saved him. Because you have to keep in mind, prophets and messengers are real men. They are men. Okay? So, manhood is the peak. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he said, as in Bukhari, tonight I'll sleep with 100 women of his, because in previous laws, there was no limit. Only the limit came in Islam, limited by four. Before, no limit. And he said, and all of them, they will conceive. Everyone will give me a knife to fight. But he forgot to say, inshallah. So no one became pregnant except one, and she gave half of a child. The Prophet ﷺ said, had he said, inshallah, Allah would have granted him his wish and fulfilled his wish. The Prophet ﷺ, he would sleep with all his wives in one night. So prophets, they are men. So Yusuf ﷺ, he cried to Allah to save him. So that's how we overcome that weakness, by crying to Allah and turning to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. So that is one weak link. The second weak link is the doubts. Shaitan, if he fails to make you fall into sinfulness, he results to the other alternative. And that is by planting and putting seeds of doubt into your mind. Then you start to doubt your faith. What's the cure? The cure is the ilm, by the grace of Allah, the knowledge. You equip yourself with the knowledge, so then Satan cannot play with your mind. And the doubts will not find a place to go and creep and enter into your heart. But if you are, your knowledge is not as shallow, then the doubts will find their way to your heart. And that will weaken your iman. And then you start to doubt your own faith. And this is what happens. If you are not well established in the ilm. And we have many examples. When you are not well established and you interact with the enemies of Islam, with the gentilists, with the kuffar, and what you hear all the time, doubts, shubhat. Because these organizations and many of those Orientalists are teachers in universities. Okay. And their goal is only to attack Islam. So they study the Quran, they study the Sunnah, etc. And they only try to attack Islam, and by fabricating lies or following a mutashabih, etc. So if you are not well established, then you will be confused. You'll be confused. And their strategy, their aim is to plant the seed of doubt into your mind. And they are not objective or gentleness in their research. They're not, because they have clear agenda. Your gentleness, they paved the way in the past for the colonialists, colonial power, and they still do the same thing. So many of the Muslim who went to the West in the 20th century and 19th century, okay, and they were not equipped. They came back brainwashed, totally brainwashed. Okay, Ahtawi, Taha Hussein, and the like. And the same thing. It's the same machinery. So, how to protect yourself from the shahawat is by the taqwa and the iman, and how you protect yourself from the doubts by the ilm. Ilm. You really know your deen before you go and study comparative religion and philosophy. Before that, know your Islam first. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, was able to critique the logicians, the Greek logicians, was able to compare all the deviant sects and confront them, was able to critique the deviation of the Christians when he wrote his massive work, Al-Jawab al-Sahih, Liman Baddala Deen al-Masih. He didn't do that before he mastered all the sciences of al-Sharia, the sciences of al-Islam. When he was well established, then he was able. But if you are not well established in the deen and the ulum of the Islam, don't flex your muscle, don't flex it. First of all, establish yourself. Then no shubha can stand in front of you, and no shubha will be able to reach your heart. So this is what the shaitan does. So the shaitan, my dear brothers and sisters, he has his own strategy, his own plan. And he studies each one of us and analyzes this personality and look for the weak link and the weak points, and he attacks us. So his plan, that because you see, he took upon himself the shaitan. When Allah cursed him because he refused to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam, when Allah commanded the angels to prostrate before Adam. Okay, because Allah commanded them. So he was addressed along with the angels. And he knew that. Though the command was issued, وَقَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, he was with them. He was not one of them. He was with them. Because he's from the jinn. But he was with them. Okay. So the command includes him. So he was addressed, and he knew that. He didn't say, oh Allah, you told the malaika to prostrate, not me. He knew that. But he objected differently. The reason behind his objection is rejecting what Allah issued, what Allah commanded. He said, I am better than him. You created me from the fire. You created him from the clay. So he is rejecting Allah's command. So the enmity started from that day. And he took upon himself not to spare any effort in misleading Adam's progeny. And this is what he's doing. And by the way, Iblis is still alive from that time to today. And his throne is in the water on earth. Where, we don't know. But the Prophet, as in the authentic hadith, when he examined and checked and tested Ibn Suyad, he asked him, what do you see? He said, I see a mighty throne, big throne, and there are many people around it. He said, yes, that's the throne of Iblis. So from that day, so he's working around the clock. And he would not spare any effort. But if we turn to Allah, he will not be able to harm us. The moment we leave the robe, then we become very vulnerable. And it is then we become very easy prey for him. Easy prey for him. One of the ulama was teaching his student. He told him, if you pass and there is a dog barking at you and wants to attack you, what are you going to do? He said, I will pick up stone and throw it at him. He told him that will take time. The best thing is to ask the owner of the dog, stop your dog. And the owner will say, hey. And the dog will keep quiet. So what the sheikh is teaching his students, you ask the owner, the creator of Satan, he will protect you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, my dear brothers and sisters, about the tricks of the shaitan. And this enmity, which we should not forget, and we should always keep in mind. So in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 16 to 18, Allah says, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين قال اخرج منها مذءوما مدحورا لمن تبعك منهم لأملأن جهنم منكم أجمعين. سبحان الله. He said, for leaving me to stay, I will lie in ambush for them on your straight path. I will approach them. See, subhanAllah. I will approach them. I will approach them from their front, their back, the right, the left, and then you will find most of them ungrateful. Most of them ungrateful. Allah said, get out of paradise. You are disgraced and rejected. I will certainly fill up hell with you and your followers altogether. Let us reflect. Qala. Who said? Satan. Qala fabima aghwaytani. See how he accuses Allah. That you misled me. You misguided me. Allah didn't misguide him. He chose to be misguided. He disobeyed Allah. He disobeyed Allah. He rejected Allah's command. The angels, they obeyed and prostrated. Why didn't you? You expect Allah, your creator, your Lord, to be satisfied and grateful with you and happy with you when you disobey him. See what he's saying. قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. So he said, for leaving me to stray, you are leaving me to stray. Allah will leave you to stay when you choose to do so. Allah wants you to obey him. Allah wants you to listen to him and follow his teachings. You decided to do the opposite. And the jinn and human beings, they differ from the malaika, because they were giving free will. The jinn, they have the free will to obey or disobey. Malaika, they don't have that. They just obey Allah. لا يعصون الله ما أمره. They cannot disobey Allah. But the jinn and mankind, they have that. So Iblis, he chose not to obey. So he cannot blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, for leaving me to stay, I will lie in ambush and hide for them on your safe path. So see, he is disclosing his plan, disclosing his strategy, how he's going to mislead the children of Adam. And this is explicit proof, refutes those who say Muhammad, the shaitan, told the Quran to Muhammad. See, the Quran says, describing and mentioning the plan of the shaitan. What shaitan is this? If he is the one who, for the sake of argument, if he is the one who told the Quran to the Prophet ﷺ, so he's teaching him, This is my plan. This is how I'm going to mislead you. And this is a stupid then, Shaytan. Okay? But because this is the one who talks is Allah. So Allah mentions what the Shaytan says. قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ مُسْتَقِيمَ. I will sit and lie in ambush. How, when you want to hunt a deer, you hide yourself and you keep quiet. And you take the game by surprise. The same thing in war. You set ambush for your enemies so they fall into that and you attack them. So this is what he's saying. I'm hunting on them. So لَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So I will lie in ambush. Where? On the crooked ways? No, on the straight path. The straight path. There I will be lying in ambush to attack them. So in other words, he's saying, my goal, my objective are those who are on the straight path, those who are going to the masjid, those who are pious, those who are righteous, those who are practicing the deen, those sisters who are wearing niqab, observing the hijab. Okay? Look decent, lowering their gaze. I will target them. They are my enemies. Not those who are in the nightclub. No, they are already in my pocket. Those are permanent members in my club. I will focus on those, the righteous, the pious, those who are on the straight path, those who are on the sirat, those who are holding the hot embers in their hands, okay? I am going to target them. So my dear brothers and sisters, we are targeted by Iblis and all his friends, all his allies. That's why. Why they are attacking the hijab? Why are they attacking the niqab? Why? Because this is what the shaitan dictates to them. What that piece of cloth on the head of a woman is going to do? Nothing. It is a threat to your national security? Piece of cloth? What security then they have? Because now, that piece of cloth is a symbol. It sends messages. That is it. It's a simple sends messages. This is Islam. This is what Islam teaches. It is da'wah in itself. Come. Come to guidance. Come to the way of salvation. That's what that piece of cloth says. Come to decency, modesty. That's what that piece of cloth says. That's why they hate it and they fight it. But that's what their master tells them. قَالَ فَبِمَا غُوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. So he's always sitting there. You want to go to the masjid? You hear the adhan? Yes, it's still time. Till you hear the iqama. And you haven't taken wudu. By the time you finish your wudu, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, salamu alaykum, they finish the salah. That's what the shaitan does. So he makes you miss your prayer. Next step, maybe before that, he will make you miss the first takbirah. Then you miss one rak'ah, then two rak'ahs, or three rak'ahs. Then when you reach the masjid, they already finished the salah. Then you start praying at home. Then you start missing your prayers at home. This is what the shaitan does. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ I will lie in ambush for them on your safe path. Then he carried on disclosing and announcing, okay, his plan, what he's going to do to us, how he's going to mislead us. Then after that, after I lie in ambush, ثُمَّ لَاتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ I will come to them from their front. One of the mashayikh, rahimahullah, he said, all the evil ideologies came from these four directions. From the front, they call you progressive. Progressive. He's progressive. Taqaddumi, progressive. From the front. All deviant thoughts. He's rightist. He's leftist. He's backward. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. So all these deviant ideologies. So the shaitan is saying, ثُمَّ لَأَتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ I will approach them from their front. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ I'll come also from their behind. From their back, from their right, their left. And then you'll find most of them ungrateful. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ You'll hardly find many of them are grateful. They will not be grateful to you. And you will find most of them ungrateful. This is what I'm going to do. I come to, from the right, from the left, from the front, from their back. But the cursed one was very cautious. He didn't mention two directions. How many directions are there? Front, back, right, left, up, down. Why he missed the up and the down? Why? Why? He didn't mention up, because what is up and what is above him is creator. So he cannot mislead us from above. He cannot. Because the guidance comes from above. The hidayah descends from above. So if we always look above and receive our guidance from above, then he will not be able to mislead us. He will never be able to do that. But the moment we sever the link with the one who's above, then we become venerable for him. So he didn't mention folk above, because that is Allah. The guidance comes from that direction. So so he cannot do anything. That's why when the shayateen, before al-Islam, they used to go and eavesdrop. They went up, they go up to listen to what the malaika says. After the al-Islam, the advent of Islam, after the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went as usual, but they found now they are shooting stars waiting for them. So they cannot eavesdrop and they cannot steal information from the malaika. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees any matter, he talks about it. And the moment Allah speaks, the angels, they become unconscious. And the first one to recover would be Jibreel alayhi salam. And then Allah will inform him what he decreed. And then the malaika in each heaven, they ask Jibreel, what did Allah decree? And he would inform them. So the malaika in the first heaven, they talk among themselves what Allah decreed. So the jinn are listening. But now they cannot do that. But they are shooting stars. So they cannot come from above. So he cannot come from above because guidance comes from above. And why didn't he mention down? Because he refused to bow down. He refused to prostrate. So he didn't mention these two directions. May Allah curse him. And may Allah save us from his tricks. Ameen. So after he disclosed his plan, and he mentioned his plan, Allah said, قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا. Get out of paradise. Get out. You are disgraced and rejected, cursed. You are cursed. You are rejected and disgraced. Then Allah said, لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will certainly fill up hell. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ. I will fill up hellfire with you and your followers all together. All together. So, that's why Allah said, إنما يدعو حزبه ليكون من أصحاب السعير. He invites his followers to be with him in the blazing fire, to be inmates in the blazing fire. He doesn't want to be alone, so he wants company. That's what the shaitan invites. And on the day of resurrection, he washes his hands. Guys, don't blame me, blame yourself. I didn't grab your hand. Did I? Did you see me? No, I didn't. Okay. What I did, I just say, guys, come. I invited you. Ta'utukum. Fastajabtum li. You were fools. I told you, come, and you rushed to me. Though my creator and your creator warned you against my tricks, you didn't listen to your Lord. You followed me. So shame on you. Don't blame me. Don't blame me. Shame on you. I called you and you followed me. That's it. And today, neither you nor myself can save anyone. I cannot save myself, and you cannot save yourself either. So Allah said, لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ. See, Allah is saying, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ. Most certainly, undoubtedly, surely, I will fill the hellfire with you and your followers. All together, you'll be there in the hellfire. May Allah save us from the fire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya Rabb. He says in Surah Al-Hijr, ayah 42 to 43, Inna ibadi, Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya Rabb, bimannika wa karamika. Oh Allah, make us among them by your grace and mercy. Inna ibadi, laysa laka alayhim sultanun illa man ittaba'aka min al-ghawin. Allahumma save us from being from those who are ghawi, deviant. وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. You certainly have no authority over my servants, the true servants of Allah. May Allah make us among those true servants of His. Ameen. You certainly have no authority over my servant, except the deviant who follow you. لَمَنَ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. Those who follow the ghay, those who follow misguidance. That's why the poets, who will follow the poets? الْغَاوُونَ. Those who are deviant, they follow them. لَمَنَ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And indeed, indeed, hell is the promised place for them all. The promised place. لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Apart from my servant, my true servant, the promised place is the Jannah. May Allah make us among them, the Jannah. But those who follow you, hey, Jahannam is their promised place. So, this is how we come protect ourselves by the grace of Allah, to be cautious, aware of this open enemy. This open enemy is there to mislead us. So remember what he uses. Shahawat, Shubhat. Lock these two doors, windows, he will not be able to mislead you. You have problem with the shahawat, build up your iman, build up the taqwa. You have a problem with doubts, learn your deen. And this is my advice for you, my dear brothers and sisters. Roll up your sleeves. and study your Islam deeply, profoundly. Study the aqidah. The correct belief, the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the belief of the Sahaba, Tabi'een, Tabi'at Tabi'een, As-Salaf As-Salih. Study it. Then you'll be able to reject any doubt and expel it and expose the one who is an advocate of such doubts. But before that, stay away from those who just disperse and spread doubt. Don't argue with them. But what? Because what you are going to hear, shubuhat. So my advice for you, never go to debates. Never go to any debate. That's why we need to stop our brothers from doing that. You want to debate, you feel you are qualified? Okay. Limited circle with this kafir, atheist. You debate with him, limited circle, no audience. No audience. We have to be smart and intelligent. Why do we bring our brothers and sisters and fill the auditorium for this shaitan to put the seeds of doubt into their mind? And we know time of the debate is limited. And you will end up not being able to address all the issues because he will be just mentioning shubuhat like that, throwing doubts. If he managed to plant the seed of doubt in one of the minds of the Muslims, the audience, to him that is victory, gain. And it is a loss for us. And who's the culprit? And who will be held accountable? And who will be blamed? The organizers. The Muslims themselves. And sometimes the Muslim who debates is not that strong. Not that strong to expose his opponent. Not all of the ones today who debate like Ahmed Didat, rahimahullah. They're not. Ahmed Didat, just by the way he stands, rahimahullah, he shakes them. Because he knows their tricks. He lived with the missionaries, grew up with them. So he knows all the techniques and tactics. And he knows how to turn the table. Not all the Muslims and the brothers today, they are that qualified. They're not. They are not like the Bagallani. Rahimahullah. They're not. So don't flex your muscle. Don't go to the debate. Don't go to the website or chat rooms. Focus on learning your deen first. Then when you become strong enough, then you can debate. Then, otherwise, you will have a problem. one day, one of these shubuhat will hit your heart and your head will start spinning. Okay? Spinning. You doubt the authenticity of the Quran. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The Quran that the Quraysh, the experts, failed to find any flaw with it. And now you doubt it? The Quran that Allah said that He's going to protect it? Inna nahnu nuzzanna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. It is we who send down the dhikr. It is we, us, this royal we, that are going to protect it. And then you doubt? You doubt what? Wake up! Wake up! Repent, turn to Allah. Because this is an inevitable fruit of mixing and sitting with the kuffar. You start to doubt. When Allah says, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. لا ريب فيه. It's just in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. لا ريب فيه. It has no doubt in it. No doubt. And Allah rejected it. From day one. Well, they found some manuscripts. There are some verses there and not there, now there in the Quran. So what? Learn your deen. Don't you know there is naskh, abrogation? There were verses that were abrogated. This Quran is the last arda, the last arda, the last reading with Jibreel alayhi salam, what we read. Yes, there were verses Allah mentioned and they were abrogated. Or if there is a manuscript and some verses in the older is not what we have, that proves nothing. And in the most important thing that the Quran is transmitted orally. Allah spoke it, Jibreel spoke it, the Prophet ﷺ spoke it, the Sahaba spoke it orally, oral chain. Such is the Quran transmitted orally throughout the history of Islam. I sit in the circle of a sheikh and he recites. And the Mus'haf of Uthman is the same. The last arda, the last recitation the Prophet ﷺ read with Jibreel alayhi salam. So the Quran is protected. There were writers, scribes, Katibat al-Wahi. The Prophet ﷺ, he would call them and they would write down the ayat. So to doubt the Quran, you are in bad shape because of the shubuhat. Because of the shubuhat, sitting with the kuffar. When you are not well established in all the sciences of the Sharia, and not well established, so naturally, this is what will happen. So don't listen to the doubts, to the shubuhat. And most of these shubuhat, they are not new, by the way. the Muslim scholars refuted all this shubhat. So the kuffar and the enemies of Islam, they just reproduce them again and again and again. That's it. They are nothing new. So when you read what the Muslim scholars mentioned in the past, so that's why my advice for you, dear brothers and sisters, read the works of the scholars, Muslim scholars, the scholars of the Salaf al-Saleh, those who follow the Kitab and Sunnah, the three generations, and those who follow the footsteps. So you know your deen. So don't debate, don't go to debates, don't argue before you learn your deen. If you want to debate, either limited circle with those academic circles, so no audience around you, and you are able to refute them, you are qualified. Or address these doubts, and then through the media, you mention the doubt and you refute it. So you expose them. And there are many websites, they do this. So Muslims, they should be people who are dedicated and qualified, and they should be actually a body who has scholars and from all different disciplines, and who can address all the issues and the doubts and the shubhat of the kuffar. So Muslims are aware of these doubts and they know the answer. They know the answer to that. And we need to educate our students as well and give them the keys and how to refute such doubts. So stay away from the shubhat. And the remedy for that is the ilm. Al-ilm. That's the cure. And what is al-ilm? Al-ilm qala Allahu, qala Rasuluhu, qala as-sahabatu, laysa bitamwihi. Said the ilm. Knowledge, Allah said, the Prophet said, the companion said. This is the ilm. Ilm al-wahi. Allah said this, the Prophet said this, the companion said this. Well, the invitee doesn't believe in the Quran and Sunnah, so I cannot use this. That's well and fine. Fine. Invitee is a non-Muslim, right? So I'm calling him to Islam. Okay, fine. I can reason with him. No problem. I can reason with him. I can argue with him intellectually. The Quran taught us how to defeat them and how to argue with them. The Quran reasons with the kuffar. I can use the Quranic methodology. Am khuluqu min ghayri shay'in am hum al-khaliqun. This is a very strong argument. Exposes the atheists and the agnostics. Did they come from nothing? That's what the Quran says. Am khuluqu min ghayri shay'in. Did they come from nothing? Nothing gives nothing. This is ruled out. So nothing gives nothing. nothingness will not give existence. Very simple. I'm خلقكم من غير شيء. أم هم الخالقون? This is another question posed. Did they create themselves? No one can claim that he created himself. He is created. And you cannot say my parents created me because they are created themselves, they are created. So someone created me and created my parents. And who's that? A creator. The one who creates is called creator. Is called creator. No. It is just a monocell organism developed. And then from that organism, the unicell organism, things came out and human beings came and all animals and all that nonsense, all that stuff. So who created that unicell, monocell? Who created it? Tell me. Nothing gives nothing. Where did it come from? Tell me. Am khuliqu min ghayri shay'in? Am hum al-khaliqun? Or did they create themselves? Neither this nor that. So these two probabilities and possibilities are ruled out. So what remained? What remained? You are created. So who created you and who brought you into being? So he has to accept that he is created by someone. Who's that one? Then you take it further. That one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, it is Mother Nature. What do you mean by Mother Nature? Define to me Mother Nature. Do you mean it is a synonymous name for God, the one who created everything, you call it Mother Nature? Or do you mean the things, nature we see, mountains, trees, plants, animals, what do you mean by Mother Nature? If you mean nature, nature cannot create, it is created. And if we draw the pyramid, we find that the base of the pyramid are the inanimate, then on top of it, plants, on top of it, animals, on top of it, human being. This is what we see around us. And the human being is in the top of the pyramid, and all the three things are below him, and all of them, they serve him, and they are made subservient to him. And these three things, which they make nature, compose nature, they don't have the intelligence. And man has the intelligence. So don't tell me Mother Nature. There's a creator who created you and brought you into being from nothing, because he's the creator. So when it comes that argument that the kuffar, they don't accept the Quran, we say fine, the Quran reasons, and we can use the Quranic methodology. No problem. But first we have to study our Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman and your iman, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen, and may Allah guide all our brothers and sisters. May Allah save us all from going astray. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah in the haqq, ameen. And may Allah unite our hearts in the haqq, ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience, attendance, and dedication. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allahu khayra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair, Shaykhana Sheikh Salim. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, we will now begin the question and answers time. Please send in your questions as soon as possible. You can do so as the usual ways by sending your message via writing, or you can ask your questions verbally, inshallah. And we have received some questions. We will begin with those. Okay. First question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. To what extent does the beautiful Sharia allow a merchant to look at his female client?
Okay. This female client comes to buy something. Fine. No need to look at her. She asks you, I need that item. Can I have it? Yes. Here it is. Okay. And she will give you the cash. She will pay. And she will go. No need for you to stare at her. Oh, now, she's a client. You are giving services, fine. And she is sitting in front of you and there's no khalwa and people all over the place. What's the necessity of staring and looking at her? There's no need. So you hear her and you tell her, this is what we do. This is the application. This is the form. This is the contract. Would you mind signing here without looking at her, staring at her? So what is the problem? What makes it a necessity to look into her eyes and to see her makeup and to see her face? What makes it a necessity? Mutual respect, talking officially with her, and business will go on. That will not stop. You know what? That sounds rude. Ah, rude. Lowering the gaze is rude. Vice, lowering the gaze. Looking and smiling to the customer, the opposite sex, and crack jokes and chats to melt the eyes. That is virtue. Just we are talking about the tricks of the shaitan. The tricks of the shaitan. That's what the Quran says. Do not follow. He didn't say do not follow the shaitan. Khutwat shaitan. Do not follow the footsteps of the shaitan. Footsteps. So when you interact with the opposite sex, you lower your gaze. You don't look at her, the opposite sex. Because the eyes are very, very dangerous. Just a look from a woman, she shoots, fatal and arrows that are very fatal to your heart. She just smiled and women are good archers. They know how to shoot. That arrow will stick into your heart and your head will start to spin. And now you go home and you only have that picture in your mind. Your beautiful wife is not more any more beautiful. Only that picture there popping up. So when Allah says, lower your gaze to protect us, to protect both of us, I'll be safe and she'll be safe. Maybe I'm more handsome than her husband. So she will go back home, and now she has a problem. She's imagining and fantasizing. Okay. So when Allah says and commanding the believing men and believing women to lower their gaze, it is for our own benefit. So if there is a necessity of interacting with the opposite sex, we lower our gaze. Should not look. That's what Allah says. You lower our gaze, يغضوا من أبصاري ويحفظوا فروجا, and to protect the private parts. What is the link between the eye and the private part? There's a strong link. You see, the chemistry changes in your body, and the private part reacts. So lower your gaze if you want to maintain your iman. Because shaitan will come through the shahawat. And what is the best bait for the man, a woman? That's the best bait. Because what is the weakness of a man? Woman. So send him a woman. She will do the job. Okay. Do you want information of his country? Send him a beautiful lady. She will get everything. That's why the Prophet says, "Ma taraktu fitna." Ma taraktu fitnatan ashaddu ala rijali ummati minan nisa. This is a beautiful hadith. I've never left fitna, a trial, a test, a tribulation, which is more dangerous to the men of my ummah more than women. Women are the most dangerous fitna test for the Muslim men. Most dangerous one. Dangerous one. So my dear brothers and sisters, stay away from each other. Women don't mix with men. And men don't mix with women. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالدُّخُولَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Never, ever enter upon women. Even if you are going to give a talk, ask them to put a curtain. Not that they are in front of you and you are addressing them. And you enjoy it. And you see all these beautiful faces in front of you. And some are smiling. Some are staring. Some. And the shaitan plays with your mind. And you want to look cute. And you entertain them, and you might crack a joke here or there. We know that. And don't tell me, please. Okay? It's only there in your mind. Believe me, there's nothing there. I am a saint. I am ma'soom, invaluable. If you don't feel anything, go and check yourself. Check your manhood. You have a problem. So please, my dear brothers and sisters, be careful. So you have business, you have female clients, be official and lower your gaze. This is my advice. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. The next question, does Iblis and the jinn sleep?
We don't know. I mean, explicitly do they sleep, but we know that they are like us. They eat, they drink. Do they sleep? Allah knows. We cannot speculate in the absence of any evidence. I haven't come across any evidence, but from what we know about them, they are like us. Okay? They marry, they have children, they multiply. Okay, so they eat, they drink, they have mounds. They came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, spent the night. Those who believe, they are believers, disbelievers, etc. But whether they sleep or not, I don't know. I don't know. If anyone has explicit evidence, specific evidence about this, I would be more happy to know about it. Next question.
Inshallah. Next question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. What is your advice for nose piercing, to put nose rings for women? Does that come under revealing the beauty of women? Please advise.
Well, this depends. I think it is on the norm or the urf in the country. If that is considered part of the beauty of a woman, like the earrings, okay, then this can be considered as part of the beauty of a woman, but providing, of course, she will be covering her face. Though the places of the ornaments, as mentioned in the Quran, are the hands, the arms, the ears. That is what where normally women wear ornaments, and the anklets. But piercing the nose and put that piece of gold, maybe this is a habit of the non-Muslims. And Muslims, they picked that from them. So my advice actually for the sister is try to avoid that. Try to avoid that. Because there's no necessity for it to pierce your nose and put that piece of gold. This is my advice for the questioner. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. If not, the questioner can send another request. The next question. Assalamu alaikum, dear Sheikh. Most often I feel the shahawat.
Okay, now I remember something. You see, the kuffar, may Allah guide them. Masakeen, wallahi, masakeen, the kuffar. They don't know. You see a guy who has things here. His lips also, there are rings. And the Muslims also, they do that. Okay. Belly button. Muslim women, they follow that. No. من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. Whoever emulates and imitates people, he will be one of them. So take care and don't follow them to the lizard hole, as the Prophet ﷺ said. Yes, Akhi, next question, please.
The next question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, dear Sheikh. Most often I feel the shahawat, and it is advised to build the iman. How do we attain the iman? Jazakallah khair.
You attain the iman, first of all, by repenting. You quit sinning. And repent sincerely. Repent sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing, maintain your prayers. Don't miss your prayers. Read the book of Allah. Have good company. good brothers, if you are a brother, around you, good sisters around you. Avoid the things that will trigger your desire. Don't listen to music. Don't watch movies. Don't read novels that talk about romance. So anything that will trigger your desire, keep yourself busy. Make your schedule very tight. Play sport, do exercises, so that you lose energy. So when you go, you put your head on the pillow and you lie down, you go to sleep. And this is my advice for the sisters. Keep the girls at home busy. Keep them busy. Keep them busy and always in front of you. Let them do the chores at home. Let them cook. Teach them. Teach them, because they will be mothers and they will go to their husbands' houses. So teach them. Today you cook. Today you do the washing. You do the hoovering. Keep them busy. So when the night falls, they are teenagers, but they are totally exhausted. They go to sleep. Not that they are sitting idle. Browsing iPads, their phones, Wi-Fi everywhere, all over the house. So everyone is sitting there by himself. So we are destroying them, and they are teenagers. So we facilitate the haram for them. And you hardly see them today, hardly see the members of the family. Everyone is in isolation, in his own world. You want them to come out, switch off the internet. They will come out like the rats from their holes. What happened? What happened? What happened? That's how you can bring them out. Switch off the internet. Okay, so stay from all these things. If there is internet, okay. The computer is there in the sitting room. Anyone has assignment or anything to do, he can go there. So he will not go to any site. And you put on that machine a software that will filter the dirty stuff. Okay. So that's how we build our iman. The dua, the istighfar, good company, reading the book of Allah, sincere repentance, staying away from bad friends, not watching any haram, not listening to any haram. That's how the iman will be built. May Allah strengthen our iman and your iman. Ameen. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. Next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah reward you, Sheikh, immensely for sharing the beneficial knowledge. Jazakallah khair. Ameen. There are two rakat of sunnah which we can pray immediately after the Maghrib adhan. I would like to know, if a person can't hear the adhan, then can she still pray the two rakat before the three fard of Maghrib prayer at home?
The answer, there's no harm. The answer, there's no harm, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Sallu qabla al-Maghrib, Sallu qabla al-Maghrib, Sallu qabla al-Maghrib. Then he said, Liman sha. So if one wants to pray these two rak'ahs, that's okay. But it's not sunnah mu'akkada. Okay, it's not from the sunnah that are regular, you pray them. Okay, so if you pray it sometimes, that's fine. because it's not one of the Sunan Mu'akkada. Next.
The next question, Sheikh. When two Muslims decide not to write terms of a loan, i.e. they are flexible in the repayment, is it permissible?
They decided not to write an agreement?
Yes, Sheikh.
Okay, that is, the writing is there to guarantee the right and the is a form of protecting your rights. Okay, let's say that I took a loan from you and it's not documented. And then something happened to the lender. He died. And the borrower denied. And no one can trace him. But if there is a document, then your right is protected. So even after your death, your children will say, okay, so and so you owe us this amount of money. So when Allah tells us to write these things, it is for the sake of protecting our own rights. So we are the ones who's going to reap the benefit. So my advice, write everything, write it. I trust him, it's not a matter of trust. It's more than that. It is a document to protect your rights. Because we don't know. Any one of us can die at any time. So when Allah tells us, write it, so we have to write it. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. The next question. Well, is it also...
Sometimes you say, he is my friend, he's going to get upset with me. You don't trust me? It's not a matter of trust, Sheikh. I trust you. Okay? This is just for protecting the rights. So if something happened to any one of us, the children, the borrower died, the children, they know, oh, our father has debt. He owes this amount for so-and-so. So they will go and pay it. If the lender died, his children can ask the borrower to give them the money. Next question, Akhi.
The next question, Sheikh. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah khair for your valuable classes. What are the leeways to be safe in Islam if ongoing business is in a dangerous situation to survive? In this case, can zakat be postponed or is it permissible to borrow money from someone who has mixed money, both halal and haram?
Okay, the first part, can zakat be postponed? No. When you have the nisab, first of all, let us leave the business. Who provides? Allah. Who's the razzaq? Not the market, Allah. Who makes your business boom? Who makes your business profitable? You? If you say yes, big problem. Because you attribute that to yourself. It is Allah. I am only a weak servant of him, but he is the one who makes it profitable. He's the one who gives the barakah and the support, the help. So I rely on him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in his hand. Everything is in his hand. And if there is fear and taqwa, Allah will provide. That's what he promised. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ Whoever has taqwa, fear of Allah, whoever fears Allah, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will create for him an exit, outlet. وَيَرْزُقُهُ, and he provides for him, مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, from sources he cannot expect. So first of all, we rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you try your best and you exhaust all your efforts to make your business successful within the framework of the Sharia, within the halal. But I have money, I have cash, liquidity, I have cash. And now it is zakah time. And then I say, that this is what the shaitan comes and whispers. You know, the situation of the market, don't give the zakah. What if I die at that moment and I didn't give the zakah? I'd be in bad shape in front of Allah. I'll be held accountable. Money there, zakah is due, give the zakah. Give the zakah and the barakah will come. Allah will provide. If we have trust and yaqeen and certainty. Okay. So this is the first part. Don't delay the zakah. Second thing, can I borrow money? Borrowing money and loan and deen should be avoided as much as possible. Because if I die and I have debt, I'll be suspended in my grave. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever a janaza, a deceased, a dead body, a Muslim is brought for, to the masjid and for the Prophet ﷺ to lead the salah, salatul janaza, the funeral prayer, and by the way, the word janaza, it refers to the body, it refers also to the wooden frame, which is the bier. So the Prophet ﷺ, the first thing he would ask, does he have any debt? Did he have any debt? Did he owe any money for anyone? If the answer yes, he would leave. He would not pray for him. He would not. He would leave. So you lead. Okay, I will not. So here the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that we should not have debts. We should not have. One day, when the Prophet asked, they said yes. He decided to move. So one of the Sahaba said, I will pay his debt, but lead the salah. Said, okay, so you are responsible. You will pay. He said, yes. So he led the salah. The Prophet ﷺ, he kept asking the man, did you pay? He said, not yet. So he kept asking him until he said, yes, I paid it. So don't borrow money. Imagine the shaheed, the martyr, the shaheed. All his sins are forgiven. The first drop came out. The moment the first drop of blood comes out from his body, his sins are forgiven. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, accept debt. Just recently, Yibril told me. So the Shaheed, all his sins will be forgiven except if he has debt. So Muslims should try to avoid having debts. That's why you don't go for a mortgage, because it is debt. So if there's no necessity, don't go for and take a loan. And if you take a loan, you make sure you have an asset in case that you fail to pay, the asset can be sold and your debts can be paid. This is my advice for the questioner. Avoid taking debts and give the zakah. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. The next question. That was our final question, Sheikh. Before,
final?
Yeah, that was the final question. Before I ask for yourself to conclude, Sheikh, I'd like to remind all the brothers and sisters that on Sunday night, the time will be changing in the UK. So please match your times with the UK time. So we are still having the class at 6 p.m. UK time. However, according to UAE, it will be 10 p.m. And other countries, it will be, of course, different. You need to match it with the UK time, 6 p.m. inshallah.
So for us, it will be 10 p.m.? There will be four hours difference?
Yes, Sheikh, 4 hours difference.
Okay. So effective from next week, inshallah?
Yes, from Monday, inshallah, from Monday's class. Yeah. Sheikh, would you like to bring it earlier or keep it at that time, Sheikh?
So what is convenient? I'm available. What's convenient for the people? So do you want it 9 o'clock like now? Or do you want it 6 o'clock?
According to yourself, Sheikh, maybe you can message me later, but for next week, we can keep it the same. According to your schedule, Sheikh.
Okay, inshallah. Okay, inshallah.
So, thank you, Sheikh.
Up to the coming class as usual, then we'll announce it, inshallah.
Yes, so Monday it will be 6 p.m. as usual, inshallah. And please, brothers and sisters, match your timing with the UK time because on Sunday it will change. According to UK time, 6 p.m., please match your timing and join us on Monday, inshallah, as usual. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, if you would like to conclude, inshallah.
Barakallah feekum, jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely, akhi, and reward all the organizers, jazakumullah khair. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, for your patience, for your attendance, for your dedication. May Allah bless you, bless your efforts, bless your families, protect you, protect your family. And may Allah elevate your status in this world and in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen. Unite our ummah in the haq. Ameen. And may Allah bless us with the beneficent knowledge and the righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Hifdullahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.